This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to an all-new episode of the Polykill Podcast. As always, we are your hosts. I'm Travis, joined by the lovely Jake. Hello, Jake.
Hello, Travis.
How's that car trouble treating you?
Well, it's finally over. So I went to a neighboring city to pick up a phone, and on the way there, the check engine light came on, and I was like, well, shit. So stopped, took a look, and my coolant reservoir was all but empty.
Oh, that's no good.
And so I took it back to the shop where I've had it there twice before for the same issue. And I was like, fucking fix it.
Leaking coolant, we're thinking.
So, yeah. So like the first time they replaced the radiator, the second time they replaced the radiator again because they said the first one that they put in was bad. And now they're saying, well, we put a new radiator cap on there. So let me know if that helps. And I'm like, that seems weak, but I will. But anyway.
So far, so good. You made it home.
So far, so good. Everything's fine.
That's good.
Yeah. I was super panicked. But
I've had my check engine light on so long, I think it's a burnout.
Yeah.
I don't think my car cured itself. I think just the light burnout. So
yeah. Cool.
Nothing to worry about.
Great.
Everything's fine.
Yes.
Hey, if you're new to the show, we talk about car trouble, games we're beating and playing,
mm-hmm.
and a little discussion at the end to make it a little fun for everybody.
Yeah.
We hope.
We hope.
I have this other YouTube channel called Ness Friend.
You do, don't you?
YouTube.com/Ness Friend. And the last two that came out were about wrestling.
Wrestling.
WWF and WCW from that era.
Yeah, back when it was WWF.
Yeah.
The good old days.
The good old days.
As they're called. Yeah.
And of course, WCW. And also a video about Renegade, Target Renegade. And those have been doing great.
Nice.
He doesn't listen to the show, but I want to shout out SNES Drunk for endorsing those videos.
Yeah, that was really cool.
And pushing them on Twitter. He pushed them on Reddit. He put them in his Discord.
Really?
It was really cool of him to do that.
And, that's awesome, dude.
It was really cool.
Did you get a big bump out of that?
Got a little bit of a bump.
Bumps are cool.
You know, maybe, you know, I have roughly 250 on that on that channel, and it maybe 50. So it was good.
That's good, yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was a fifth of my base came from that day. So.
That's awesome.
So I definitely appreciate that. But please check those out if you haven't. I'm proud of them, and hopefully you enjoy them as well.
I'm sure that I haven't watched the wrestling ones yet, but I've watched the rest of them and enjoyed them all.
Good.
Yeah. So there's been a couple of other perks, I guess you would say, that were dropped over there on our Patreon. One, Trav, you wrote a nice extensive blog about lessons learned from podcasting. You banged out 3,000 words in about 5 minutes on your inner dialogue, I guess, of how you've processed getting rid of the dead weight.
Yeah.
In your brain on podcasting. Just
pushing forward, getting over some fears and hesitations and
not overthinking things.
Don't overthink it, man. I'm very guilty of overthinking everything.
Oh, yeah, so absolutely.
It's nice to be vulnerable in that
it
kind
is.
Of space and encourage others to do the same.
Absolutely. And also, our buddy Briz, a.k.a. Hokey Briz, a.k.a. Brian, he has released this really cool thing. He made it on kind of a whim. We've been talking a lot about creative stuff, on Off Kilter a bit and amongst ourselves. And he made this thing that he calls the Ramcast, a.k.a. Random Access Memories Cast.
Right.
But it's like maybe 10 minutes long.
I think it was closer to 5.
Okay. It was pretty short.
Quick, yeah.
But he basically tells the story of the first time he encountered a specific thing. First memory of playing this one video game and like the context of it all, like who was there, all that stuff. And he's got these sound effects in the background that contextualizes everything.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
I really love it.
And of course you can find that on our Patreon, but it is open to everyone to look at.
Yes.
And he's looking for as much feedback as he can get from that because he's trying to think of a way to make it something that's sustainable, maybe an evergreen idea.
Cause it's really, really well done.
Yeah. I was actually blown away, especially because it seemed to come out of nowhere for one thing, and it seemed like we talked about creating more things like the next day he had this, so it's almost like he'd been thinking about it and wanting to do it for a while, and we kind of pushed him to do it, and
boom,
now it's out there. So good job, Brian, and hopefully everyone else checks it out and gives him a little feedback on that.
Yeah.
So I did another blog yesterday because you had car trouble.
Right, I was going to do one, but all the shit happened.
Right. So I picked up the slack a little bit there. And the thing that's been on my mind, and it's going to be a game that I talk about a little bit later, which is Silent Hill 2. Been playing that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some, and this happens a lot in games. It's not, this game isn't specifically guilty of it, but this game had a lot of really good examples of when you're in these dire situations in video games.
Mm-hmm.
And you encounter another character in the game, and the conversation just doesn't match what's going
yeah.
on. And sometimes to an hilarious extent, like it seems so out of touch. You know, like even in Skyrim, you could, you
right.
know, or whatever. Name a game. There's some calamity somewhere, and all your interactions seem to be like, oh, how's it going? How are you doing? Oh,
yeah, I know I've seen videos of like people walking through Skyrim, and there's like three dragons in the back and a couple of mammoths and giants.
And no one's bringing it up.
And no one's bringing it up. And they're just standing there saying, hey, old citizen, you know, and it's just like, yeah. this is hilarious.
Yeah. And so, and this game is very scripted. Like, at least Skyrim, random things can happen that's kind of excusable.
Yes.
But this is Silent Hill is a very scripted game, and it makes no sense that you wouldn't reference certain things. So I tried to have a little fun with it. So that's also on the Patreon perk on the blog. Then some corrections corner. So last time I talked about playing Panzer Dragoon 2.
Yes.
And evidently that is German for the number 2.
Yeah.
And I want to shout out our friend Marty for pointing that out, who I believe has spent some time in Germany.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And a Twitter follower at S. McDougal, who also pointed that out. So it was a hot topic.
Yeah, love
people
it.
People all over me about that.
They're
so
like, it's not Zwei or what did you
call whatever. Zwei. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would just call it Panzer Dragoon 2.
Yeah, one
Seems
would think
easier.
That you could do that.
Yeah, I don't think you really need to write the German word out, if I'm being completely honest with you, but
right.
that's okay.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll move on into recent pickups and on the radar.
I went down that time. I don't know if you noticed.
No, I liked it.
Usually I go up.
Stay
down
there. I like you down there. Yeah. Hey, guess what? Picked up Hollow Knight.
Yeah.
Now, why didn't you get this? I thought you were going to get it.
Well, I will. I mean, it's honestly not a limited thing. You can just walk in and get it. So I haven't really been, it's not necessarily true. I just haven't got it.
I've been aching to play this one.
It's a good one, man.
People have been talking about
now,
it.
Now, I'll tell you, the world is hollow.
Yeah.
It's a very isolated feeling game.
Yeah, and we talked to Pam a little bit about this when she was on,
yeah.
and of course, I think she had some issues about how the map structure is, and she's not a big Metroidvania fan.
Right.
She came out and said that, but other people have told me, you know, as a fan of Metroidvanias, mm-hmm. that I should absolutely love it, and that it is a tick up in difficulty compared to some other games that I've made.
It's super, I mean, great. It's surprising, because I think I bought the digital version of this for on sale for like $10. And there's so much content in this game. It's massive. So
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good time.
I can't wait to put 10 hours into it and slack off and give up.
I always do. I picked up two, and these were the more, I guess, limited run games. They're not from Limited Run, but they're kind of like those, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 print.
Get it now
games.
Or else.
Yeah, get it now at a decent price or pay 8 prices on eBay later. And that's Old Man's Journey. This is a game that I've been sort of interested to play. I honestly don't know if I'm going to open this, though, because like the digital version of the game goes on sale for like $6 or $7 quite often.
Old Man's Journey is what we should have named this podcast.
It should have been. But it's like a, you know, an adventure game, very linear, story-driven 5 to 6 hour game at most. But like the sealed version, which is the one I have, is worth like up to like close to $90 already. So I'm like, if I can play it for $7 or I don't know. We'll see. I'm very torn on that still. I still can't bring myself to do things. But one that I will be opening because I do love this game so much and I have it digitally elsewhere, but I might play it on the Switch because it's perfect for the Switch. Velocity 2X.
And this is the one I saw you play there at a party a while back.
At the Gittin, yep. I love these games. I love the first one. The wrinkle in this one is it's, you know, because the idea is it's like a shmup vertical for the most part, and your ship has a teleportation thing. So you can, like, bounce to different sides of the screen. So that creates this whole dynamic of different level designs and all this stuff. And 2X has a platforming element as well. So great.
Yeah, I was
games.
Watching you play it. I was blown away. I was like, this looks like it looks addictive as shit.
Oh, it's addictive as shit.
And just it looked very smooth.
So smooth.
And I like that about games sometimes when I can just see somebody play it. And to me, it looks like they're a professional playing it, even if it's their first time.
Yeah.
Like there's just a rhythm to it all. And I was really drawn to it. So.
I'll be honest. I am good at that game for the most part. So that, you know,
All right. Well, be that, honest that with me was, about when you're yeah. good at something.
I am good yeah. at that game. I know
how,
that.
How much did you? How much is it? The Fizzedish.
The Fizzedish. I think I picked it up for $35.
Okay.
It was from.
Where'd you get it?
Because
I kind of want it. I didn't realize it was a thing I could get.
It's not Red Art. It's not super rare. Strictly Limited.
Okay.
Strictly Limited is the company.
All right. Do you think there's any available?
I don't know. I haven't looked. Okay. I forgot I ordered it, but it just showed up in the mail one day. I was like, fuck yeah.
Nice.
You know how you do.
I like
you know
that. How you do. It's always Christmas when you're pre-ordering a bunch of shit, right?
So good.
All right. So on the radar, next couple weeks, June 3rd through June 17th. Mm-hmm. I was looking at that long list, Jake, and I think there's a little more for me after June 17th. This next 2 weeks, a little dry.
Dry for me. I didn't really notice anything popping up that I was like, I want to play this, even at some point. Like, there's nothing in there that I'm, like, drawn to. So, yeah.
And
there's really nothing on the radar.
It's that time of year. It's pre-E3, a little bit of a drought. Everyone's kind of taking a step back and waiting to make a big announcement. Maybe hot drop something that we don't even know about next
week. I'm very excited.
That can always, it always happens.
Always
at least once.
Yeah.
Ubisoft's really good about that. They'll drop like a Trials Far Cry, and you're like,
right.
What? Sure. Sounds great. Yeah, absolutely. Did they ever release that ship fighting game?
Nope. Skull and Bones.
Yeah, is that still cooking?
It's still cooking. I think it was actually delayed. I think there was an update about that a couple of weeks ago.
I'm interested to learn more about that.
Yeah.
All right, what happened last time?
Let's check it out.
Previously on Polykill, Trav chips away at a resolution by beating some games on his lesser-played consoles like Need for Speed on the 3DO and Panzer Dragoon 2 on the Saturn. Jake continues to plug away at Final Fantasy X and Days Gone before dipping into the colorful fun Murderocalypse that is Rage 2. It's all about transportation in games and their favorite yet impractical ways to get around for the topic of discussion.
And we are back. Good episode there, of course.
It was fun.
Beat a couple games on those lesser played consoles of mine, which is great.
You love it.
Felt good to do.
Break them out.
More of that. Yeah,
bring them out. Bring them out. You know how those. Yeah.
You know, back then you were playing on, you know, Final Fantasy X. Days Gone was still a topic of discussion. You'd see people talk about. Not so much anymore.
It's cooled off.
Certainly cooled off. And then Rage 2, you jumped into that. And
hell yeah.
Then we talked about Jet Moto, which hasn't happened on a podcast maybe ever.
Yeah.
We were the first ones.
Definitely. No one's ever done that.
Yeah. But it was a good app all around. So let's jump into the games that we've been playing on, the games that we're grinding on, trying to knock off the backlog. I'll get started here. I'm still loving Wild Arms.
I'm glad you are, man. That makes me really happy.
2D PS1 RPG, which is, I mean, the other 2D classic is Symphony of the Night. Like, I just wish that era had embraced the 2D a little more,
sure.
just a little bit longer, because there's some real good stuff to come out of that era. And I'm just absolutely loving it. I'm probably 15 hours in. I've had to resort to a walkthrough once because I forgot what I was going to be, like, I had gone somewhere to save at an inn, and I was like, I remembered when I saved the inn, I'm like, all right, next time when I come back, I got to go to this place. A couple days later when I loaded up, I was like, I have no idea what I was going to be doing. So I had to consult a walkthrough to see, and by doing so, I looked and I was like, we're about halfway through this old girl. So and I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it.
That's great, dude.
And it's a good podcast game, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it does have a good soundtrack. Don't get me wrong. I'm not ignoring the soundtrack at all.
Right.
But I've heard a lot of it over the course of 15 hours. So
sure.
I listened to a little
that
bit
intro,
of...
That intro, that whistle track on that intro.
Ennio Morricone? Morricone?
Yeah.
Morricone? Morricone? Morricone?
Ennio Morricone.
I wish you would have...
Well, I was hoping you'd hit it. I was just hoping you'd hit it. I was waiting for you.
I was thinking of like the character from Princess Bride or something.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But yeah, great. Absolutely great.
Oh, yeah.
And
wonderful.
So another, and evidently I'm just into Western-themed games, Dead 2, obviously.
Yeah.
Still plugging around on that. The coolest thing that I've come across recently, and I keep thinking I'm near the end, but I just keep seeing more and more quests, and I'm not really complaining.
Oh, no.
But recently, and this isn't really, I don't think it's a main quest, so this isn't spoilery, and I'm not really even going to spoil this quest.
At this point, the game's almost a year old. It's fine.
I'm just, I try to be delicate.
No, I know.
I won't even spoil Wild Arms, you know? I'm a good guy. But I was going to ask you if you ventured to this part of the map, because I talked to Brian about it. He had not. Did you ever venture through Butcher's Creek?
Yes.
And those crazy fuckers.
Those fucking weirdos.
Yeah, some of the Hills Have Eyes folk.
Oh, yeah.
And I really enjoyed that quest, because up to that
the brother
point,
and sister quest?
I don't know if that... I don't remember the name of the quest, but there are... it's certainly these people that are being affected. They're very gullible.
Right.
They're the classic definition of hillbillies.
Inbred as fuck.
Inbred as fuck.
Yes.
And Just that was interesting to see, because I felt like before that, none of the villages really had an identity.
One has a very strong personality.
It does, and I really enjoyed it.
It's actually, it makes you feel a little damp when you're there.
You
feel like this, I can smell this.
It was creepy, and it was a part of the, like, I didn't even want to, like, drive by them after a while, or drive by them. I didn't want to ride by them after a while. I took my horse the long way around because the Butcher's Creek folk were just creepy as shit.
Yeah, they are.
And I love that about that game.
So
just
good.
Having a little spot of the map that was danky and weird and creepy. And
that was a cool inclusion. I definitely would, you know, it's hard to complain about the game, but more, like, strong images like that would have been cool in the game.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because I felt like a lot of those towns were almost palette swaps. Not necessarily in, like, their organization and stuff like that. I know the stories, but, like, you walk into a town and you're like, this, you know.
There's the post office, there's the bar,
there's
the
gun shop. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. And this wasn't really considered a town. This is just a little, you know, side of the hill, bunch of cottages with all these people.
Weird animal heads everywhere.
Weird animal heads. They have sores all over them, and they're just hanging out like, hey,
sitting
get out of
porch.
Here. Get out of here. Go get lost. You know?
And yeah, it's a good time.
It was a great time. Well, yeah, so what have you been working on there, James?
So honestly, I haven't been playing much.
Let me hear all the excuses.
Well, my schedule's just been weird as hell. You know, getting up at 5:30
a.m. Okay.
Yeah. And working 12, 14-hour days. So, like, when I get home, I'm just dead. But that is over with. I think my schedule is going to normalize a little bit going forward. But anyway, so I haven't been playing much. But I did really want to get into Dauntless. I have been seeing this game around for a while. It's a online co-op Monster Hunter, just like Monster Hunter World or something like that. It is a little more simplified, scaled back in terms of technicality. It's got more of a hack and slash feel to it. I really like the color palette. It's very pretty. It almost feels like a Blizzard game, something like that. And another buy-in that I have is I actually know a guy who worked on one of the contract studios who helped make the game.
Wow.
An animator. So I was like, I should check it out. You know, this, I know this guy, so it'd be cool to you know, see what he's been working on. I will say there are still some lingering server issues.
And this is a free-to-play game,
right?
It is
free-to-play.
I completely forgot about this game. I think I only heard about it a little bit.
Yeah, I think they had a trailer at Game Awards 2 years ago.
And but it's like a AAA production, right?
Oh, it's big,
like
Epic? Yeah. It's not Epic, but they are in bed with Epic on something. It's hot. Yeah. And that leads me to this other point. Which, if you have an Epic Games account, you sign in with that and you tie whatever you're playing on to that. So, like, you're playing on Xbox, you sync it up with the Epic account. And what that allows for is what they call true crossplay. So, like, if you have it on PC, Brian has it on PS4, I have it on Xbox, we can all get into a party together, like, full invite, the whole thing, and play together.
Kind.
You know, there's crossplay on lots of stuff, but I've never seen one where it's like you can invite someone from a different console.
Right, invite.
Invite.
Interesting.
So that's pretty cool. And, like, honestly,
does the chat work that? I mean, is there a chat? You chat right across. You can talk into your Xbox headset and it comes out of Brian's PS4.
I don't know about that. But there's a text chat thing that you can do.
I see.
But you really don't need to say much in the game, honestly.
Okay. Right, okay.
A little coordination wouldn't help, but it's pretty simple. But the but yeah, like, almost every hunt that I've been on is just a mixed bag of console PC. It's pretty cool.
Is it just like sessions, or is there a campaign?
There are quests that I imagine will probably end up leading to some kind of, hey, you beat it. But, like, that's not how the game is driven. It's you know, it's free to play, so it's trying to be evergreen, all that stuff. But, you know, you have a kind of a story. You're there to kill monsters on this place so people can settle it. Makes perfect sense and very simple.
Anything you'd compare it to?
I mean, Monster Hunter's a big one. It's got the free to play vibe of, in terms of the implementation of something like Apex or Fortnite, where it's like seasons, and then, like, you level up your season rank to get rewards. It's got the whole, like, battle pass situation, if those of you that know what that is are familiar with. But, yeah, I mean, the gameplay is really fun. It's simple. There's, like, different elemental monsters, and you have to, like, match up your armor and weapons type to counter them properly. And you can either do what's called a pursuit, which is, like, going after a specific monster, or you can do a patrol, and you just don't know what you're going to get.
Cool. And the monsters, are they pretty variable, scary?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's the hunt like? I mean, was it? I'm thinking of
Evolve. It's not like that.
Better, hopefully.
It's simpler. Okay. I'll say it's simpler. But I kind of like that. It's very straightforward. You know,
I just made
exactly
my leg bleed. Isn't that fun?
Wow.
Yeah.
Shit.
Keep going. I didn't mean to interrupt with that, but
that's fine. But anyway, so it's like, you know, you go get some quests or you have some, you go to the job board and say, I'm going to go on a patrol for these kind of creatures. And then it looks for a party. You all join up, you hop into this island area, you run around, pick up some crafting shit for your weapons or whatever. And then when one of you finds the monster, cause you have to kind of go look for it, you can like throw up a flare. So everybody knows where it is. You know, go over there and hack at it for 10, 15 minutes.
I'm drawn to this.
Yeah.
I kind of want to play
fun.
It. I don't like playing with other people. I find you all suck, yeah. And you're loud, and you breathe too fucking hard.
I've heard no one speak in this game so far.
I love it. Man, if no one's speaking, I'll have fun.
But you can also just do like global mute.
Let's schedule a sesh. I'd like to try it.
That's fun.
I'd like to give it a whirl.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're done with that, I'm going to move on.
Move on.
I'll get to why I'm playing this game.
Okay.
Because I retired a different game.
Yeah, yeah.
But I started Fire Emblem Warriors. This game I kind of forgot I bought.
So is this your first round on like a Mushu game?
No, because I played Hyrule Warriors on the Wii U.
Okay.
And which is the only reason I bid on this one was because I'm not particularly interested in Fire Emblem for no real reason. I just have never played them before. Mm. And
this is a lore-based game which probably doesn't connect with you. Right.
Right, and superficially, it looks boring, even though, you know, it's kind of like Valkyria Chronicles. Like, I get into it and have fun, but when I, like, see the cover and see, like, it looks like it's advanced so much, and I've never been in it, that it's just too much to take in. You know, like, if I jumped into one now, I'm like, who's Corrin, who's Robin, who are these people? I wouldn't know, and it would take but I know these games are fucking simple. Like, it's just characters in a game.
Right.
Like, they tried to put a story in there, and
it's weak.
It's drier than fucking winter lips.
Yeah.
It's chapped.
Yes.
The story's very chapped. I don't so much care for it. But
need to gold bond that shit.
I'd say I don't care for it. I never paid attention to it for a second. I skipped all of it because I was like, I just want to.
You don't play those games for story.
I know. And it's shoehorned, the whole thing. But I love those games. And if you've not played, was it Mushu? Is that how you say it?
Mushu.
Yeah. Inishio Murakone.
Yes.
Basically, you have a battleground. And you have these objectives on the map, and you just race to get there and hack and slash them to fucking death and race to the other side and do it. And it's mindless. It's great.
Right.
It's been so much fun because I haven't really wanted to think lately.
Well, you've been playing some other pretty strong story-driven games,
and
too.
Slower games, too.
Yeah.
And this is a good opportunity to like fucking get in there and make sure my buttons still work on my Switch.
Yep.
And it's been a lot of fun. So,
cool.
I've enjoyed it. I'm already about halfway through it, to be quite honest. And enjoying that. And so the other game that I'm playing, the one that I wanted to talk about the most, was Silent Hill 2. I alluded to it earlier.
You did.
Playing it with Brian. Big scary game, of course. We're huddled up on the couch with one another under a blanket.
Yeah, love it.
And I got to say, the first like hour of that game, I'll say it again.
Poured you to tears.
Chapped.
You didn't care.
We both almost fell asleep. I mean, you're just running around the fog, and at that point, you're story building. It's not trying to scare you yet. It's trying to lull you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you're running around the fog, and you're hearing voices, and you're like, where's my wife? And why is it so... No one actually ever asks why it's so foggy, which, again, when it comes to, like, game, like, you're in the world. Another example, Evil Within.
Mm.
How that guy has no commentary about what's around him.
Right.
And you're like, this is fucking crazy. But he's like, ugh. Doesn't seem to like care, or he'll be like, "Ooh, what the heck?" Looking at something like it's not scary. Like he'll read a note and be like, "Oh, what the heck?" Like, did you not see the five-headed Cerberus that just shot out of that old woman's ass? You didn't say what the heck then. So this game's kind of like that. So there's no commentary or no reference to why the world's weird. You're just kind of in it, which kind of breaks it for me a little bit. But I gotta say, man, the monsters in that game—I had not played a Silent Hill game extensively ever before.
Oh, same, never even touched one.
I think I played like maybe an hour of 3, and I got out of the room in 4, and then the game, I was like, oh, the whole game's not sweet room puzzles, because that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
The room part was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And once I got out, it was boring. Or maybe I was too scared to go forward. But this is, the monster designs are creepy. There's some, you know, I compare it to Resident Evil in terms of, like, you gotta find, you know, cryptic, you gotta solve cryptic puzzles and get certain color keys to go to certain doors and all that stuff. Inventory management, that whole thing. Very similar, but the story's just batshit bananas and all that. But the enemy design is great. So I'm certainly having fun with it, but the first hour, maybe hour and a half, was just, I was like, oh my god, when is it, when is it ever going to become a game?
Yeah. Okay.
It does.
Cool.
It certainly does.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah. All right. So that's it for the games that we're grinding on, mm-hmm. getting down, getting jiggy with.
Getting jiggy with.
Very good. Let's take it into the games that we've knocked off the backlog.
Yeah, let's do that. So I'm going to go first and talk about something that hasn't happened to either of us in a while, but we both did on this episode.
Yeah.
We retired some games.
Yeah, we said, you know, it's not...
I don't care anymore.
We said, it's not me, it's you.
Yeah, so leave.
Yeah, which is hard to do sometimes,
right? Get your shit and go. Yeah, it is. It's hard because you, like, you know, we're a podcast about beating games, and, like, it's when you put effort into something, you want to carry it forward.
Get it done for the podcast.
Get it done for the podcast. Yeah. Let the people know that you're still invested.
Like they fucking care.
They don't care.
But it's for us.
It's for us.
This whole podcast is for us.
No, it's for the people. Let's not be...
Well, no, I mean... But the goals right. of the podcast.
Yes.
I mean, certainly we're trying to knock things off our backlogs and then hopefully leading by example, like it matters.
It doesn't matter. But yeah, I know what you mean. So anyway, it's hard for us to retire games, but I did retire Far Cry New Dawn. Now, I did enjoy this initially, but I'll tell you why I stopped enjoying it in a minute. But I did just go ahead and say
you're done.
I'm not feeling it.
Okay.
Not feeling it, and I'm not going to drag myself through it.
And it's not a terribly long game, right?
I don't think it is.
It's a bite size, or it's maybe... it released at $40, right?
Released at 40, yep.
So you already have the idea that maybe it's not quite as full of a campaign as 5.
Yeah, I don't know if that was necessarily the case, but it definitely just reused a lot of stuff from 5.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that was part of why it was priced, because not... as much needed to happen to make it. I don't know. But anyway, that one's off the backlog, but not because it was beaten, just because I just don't care.
And did you explain why you didn't care?
Well, it has a lot to do with the game that I beat.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So you're going to save this for a little
yeah.
bit later. Okay. I retired Iconoclasts.
Wow.
And again, I thought the game was very chapped and the story area very dry, needed a little bit of salve, and I just couldn't find that salve.
You just kept working your mouth around, spitting.
I did.
Nothing happened.
I couldn't get it lubed up enough
just
to be
enjoyable. Just licking his lips, trying to bring it back.
Right. Yeah. I was trying to resuscitate it via
lip licking. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
And it wasn't working. It absolutely wasn't working. I don't think that's ever worked on anything.
No.
To be fair.
No.
But...
don't think so.
I tried it, and I would get stuck, and then I would find a way past it. And the thing is, like, I look at the game objectively, and I'm like, this game should be great.
It should be right up your alley.
It's a Metroidvania.
That's why you bought it, is because it looked like something you would want to play, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But, I don't know, there's just something about it. And the frustrating thing is I can't really put my finger on why I don't care about it. I don't know. Like,
okay.
I know the story is so... fucking boring, and had some other people validate that for me. Caleb J. Ross is like, yeah, I thought that story was dry as shit.
Yeah.
Like, not at all interesting. And so even when I started skipping the story and started focusing on the mechanics, which are okay, it's still just, I don't know, there's something about it that I just did not like.
Mm.
And
okay.
It's kind of frustrating when you, because I didn't want to stop it, because I was like, maybe I'm just not in the mood for it. I'll give it time, let it breathe. No matter what I did, I could not force myself to like this game. So I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
maybe one day I'll know. But instead, I decided, based on seeing a trailer or a mention for a different game that's coming out soon called Telling Lies.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about this?
I've heard about it.
It's developed by the same folks that made Her Story, or the same guy, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
That made Her Story. And that description of Telling Lies sounded very interesting to me. It's and sort of an investigative, interrogative kind of thing. And
it's FMV too, right?
It's got plenty of FMV. And it kind of reminded me of maybe, like the better parts of LA Noir or something like that, you know, where you get try to catch people in lies and shit, and that's kind of fun. And so I saw that they also had made Her Story, which was a very similar game. And I decided that I would give that a try because it's only a couple hours. It's on PC.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up really liking that.
Cool.
Played through it. And it's pretty cool. Have you played that or are you
with it? I'm vaguely familiar with it. I have an idea of
how
it plays out in terms of like what you play. But
yeah, I thought it was really, really neat, actually. And the more I played it, the more I was kind of boggled about how they put it all together, because it was very smartly made.
Okay.
And the way it works is, I'll try to be brief, and no spoilers, because you could certainly spoil this game.
Gotcha.
You start out, you're at a computer, you're an investigator, and it seems like you're kind of new to this case, and all that you've got at your disposal to help solve this case or like learn about this case, maybe you're not trying to solve it, but you're trying to learn about it. Mm. And you have this computer database that gives you four videos at the beginning, and each video is a snippet of an interview with this woman. And each snippet's maybe 10 seconds long. And they're captioned, so you can hear what she's saying, and you can also read the words that she's saying.
Okay.
And then that's all you get. And the only way you can get more videos is to key in on words that she says and type them in and search them in this database and see if she mentions them again. So if she says something like, yes, and we left it all up there in the attic. You're like, all right, well, let's look up attic and see if she expands on that a little bit. And then it brings up other videos with attic, and then she mentions attic, or she might mention another name. She's like, yeah, I was in the attic, and I told Eric about it. And you're like, who the fuck's Eric? So you type in Eric, and you see all these videos where she mentions Eric. And over time, you build this narrative of searching through the things she's talking about. And all the interrogations are done. There's like maybe three or four, maybe more than that, but you could tell she's... It's different interrogation because she's wearing something different. So there's like multiple days of this.
I gotcha.
And it's very interesting.
Sounds cool.
I highly recommend it. I think it's very cool. And there's a... I finished the game, but I think it's... The game finishes when you unlock enough of the story and also a key part of the story. Because I didn't unlock all of it. Like, you can look at a thing that says how much of the memory or how much of the data set you've unlocked. And I had like about half of it, but I had like the good bits. Like, I'd really keyed in on the right stuff toward the end.
Cool.
And so I got the general idea of what went on here, and it was really pretty riveting. So I'm excited about Telling Lies. I think that's right up my alley. And I don't exactly know when it's coming out, but it's supposed to come out this year.
Cool.
So I'm excited for that. That's awesome. The game I beat. It wasn't a very long one, but it was a goodie.
Sounds right up your alley.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the game that I beat is Rage 2. Now, this is one that I keyed in on pretty hard when I got it. I jumped in and I was like, let me play this almost exclusively. So I think I ended up putting about 20 hours into it in total. Loved almost every second of it. Like, really, really fun game. And here's why that I couldn't go back to Far Cry after. Is because, like, I feel like a lot of games these days... think that activities are what make a game great, right? It's like giving you things to do is what most games do now, especially open world games. It's like, go here, go to this tower and unlock the map, and then take this thing to this person, and then do this. And it's like, it's just jobs. Mm-hmm. And sometimes doing the jobs is fun, and sometimes it's not. But the thing that I liked about Rage is it really didn't reinvent anything structure-wise. I think I said it maybe in a tweet. It takes like, or maybe it was in the Discord, but it's like, it takes the best parts of Far Cry, Crackdown, and Doom and kind of mixes them all together. And I really do believe it is the most fun shooter that I've played this generation.
Wow.
I mean, seriously, just imagine Doom, but in a massive open world with car combat from Mad Max in there too. It's just
Is car combat fun? Is it well done?
Oh yeah. It's great. I mean, from the same people who did the Mad Max ones.
Oh, right. Okay.
So the thing is, like I said, it didn't do anything new in terms of like telling the story or the characters or the map or the way things were put together, but just like the minute to minute doing the things was just so damn fun. I mean, it ran at a, you know, perfect frame rate of 60 frames per second, HDR, just shit, just flashing everywhere. I mean, I tweeted about that fucking ground pound where you just slam and everyone just kind of slowly rises up in slow motion. And then you can just shoot them while they're hanging in the air. Or, you know, you've got these little void things you can throw out that just kind of capture people in a stasis and shoot them. And it's just every time I saw like a bandit nest or a mutant nest, I'm like, I have to go there and kill everything because it's just so fun killing everything in this game.
Right.
So I think that's why I couldn't go back to Far Cry after that, was because Far Cry was okay, but like doing things now was just boring by comparison. It was just, okay, I've got to drive 5,000 meters to go talk to this guy. And that's it. You know, it's just like in Rage, it's like, I get to kill things? Yes, I will spend hours driving over there. Plus, the game really made it fun with all the vehicles. There's tons of different vehicles. Some of them just terrible to control. They end up giving you like a big rideable drone. So if you just wanted to get somewhere, you could just fly over literally everything and get to your destination.
It sounds like such a video game.
It's such a video game.
It's not trying to be too simulation-y.
No, it knows what it is and embraced it. And there were a few bugs that I encountered along the way. I think Brian maybe encountered a bug, but I think he just wasn't like on the right track on something, but figured it out. But
Miles also, I think, had
yeah, he had a bug. Yeah. But yeah, I'm not saying it was a perfectly made game. I'm not saying it's a great game as a whole. But it's easily one of the most fun times I've had playing a video game in a while.
That's
just because it was just such a power fantasy. It's just,
and you like shooters, so it says a lot that would be one that's high on your list for sure.
Yeah, it's way up on my list in terms of just pure fun. So yeah, that was it. Like, I just couldn't go back to Far Cry after that because it seemed boring. And after spending 20 hours in that cool open world and just shooting everything and blowing shit up, yeah,
now, good time. It's certainly a very different game from Days Gone, but did it taint that any?
No, it's unaffected.
Completely different experience.
Yeah, I expect a slower pace with Days Gone, and I just, the time that I've had to play a video game, I did not want a slower pace because I probably would have fallen asleep.
right.
So like all the pink and neon and orange explosions and blood spatters kept me awake.
It'd be like us playing Silent Hill 2. We'd just be napping on each other.
Yeah, God, that's terrible.
Under that sweet protective blanket we got to keep the scaries away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So those are the games that we just beat. Hey, if you just beat a game, you can hashtag it. Just beat it. Take a screenshot. Put it on Twitter. Maybe write a little something about it, too.
Yeah,
those are
like
our favorite.
That.
And we will put it here on the show. Or you can just beat a shit ton of video games.
Right.
And we'll brag about it for you here. Now, this time we had a little fun. Added some Florida Man. If you're familiar with the Florida Man headlines there, you can actually just type in Florida Man. I think there's a bevy of them. But put some headlines in here just to color the people a little bit.
I like it.
Church at the Game Grinder, the_GameGrinder, who broke into a terrified 77-year-old woman's home, put on her clothing, and demanded drinks, beat Bubsy, Paws on Fire, Warriors of Fate, Blasters of the Universe, and Days Gone.
Ooh, those are some big ones.
And just the idea of breaking into an old woman's home and scaring and terrifying the poor old woman.
Just for something to drink.
And putting on her clothes.
Yeah, that's the weird part.
Yeah, that is definitely the weird part. But after you take someone's clothes and put them on, then you're like, bring me a beer. Like, it just seems like, what a power trip that was. Yeah,
that's bold move, Cotton. Dean at round_2_gaming, who broke into an entirely separate home claiming he was getting away from alligators, beat Mario Party DS, Star Fox Command, Castlevania Order of Ecclesia, Half-Life, Castlevania, Portal of Ruin, and Thor.
Man, look who's back, though.
Look who's back.
Big floppy Danis. Yeah, dude. Just beating the games. Claiming he's getting away from alligators, right, which I think it's a valid complaint in Florida.
Yeah, but
probably
not
everywhere,
not
right?
Banff.
Not Banff, Florida. Yeah. Getting away from bears, though. That's legitimate.
That is true.
All right. Blink at Blinkum, who accidentally shot and killed a woman during foreplay, finished. It's a real headline. It's a real fucking headline.
Crazy.
Yeah, finished her story, Ori and the Blind Forest. It's a great game. I wanted to point out, he beat her story. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Tiny Toons, Babs Big Break, Balloon Kid, Ghost Giant, Rez's Area X, and Shakedown Hawaii.
Holy shit.
A lot of great games, I guess. I've never heard of
Tiny
a couple
Toons,
of those.
Tiny Toons, Big Babs Break. Sounds like a great time.
Yeah, I think I have that. I think it might be
that's an S-game,
retro
right?
game. Yeah, Shakedown Hawaii reminds me of Hotline Miami, and I wonder if they're akin in any way. Mm. Yeah, let's get into our favorite tweets here.
Yeah,
the good tweets. And this is one I wanted to put in here because I thought it was so weird and serendipitous that Blink also beat her story.
Uh-huh.
Same time I did, and I'm wondering if he was also inspired by seeing a Telling Lies ad like I was, but he
good
says
point.
Crazy day of beats continues as I beat her story. You basically can't talk about it without spoiling the story, but it's worth looking at. You search for and watch random clips of old interview footage to piece together an event, and yeah, it's really neat. Hashtag just beat it. And I agree, I had a hard time describing it here without actually spoiling it, but
appreciate it.
The premise is fun. It's definitely worth your time. It's short, it's good.
Cool. So our pal Eric H at Tesseract Unfold played and finished the novice difficulty of Star Raiders for the Atari 8-bit last night. Never seen this game, but it looks like an Atari game.
That's one thing you can say about it.
Yep, it's what it looks like.
We know that Tesseract here, Eric, he likes to play the any game that puts him in the air. You know, he's big on the Ace Combat. He beat
sure,
all of those.
Right. Aviation's a theme with this guy.
He likes being in the air for sure, and he's always tweeted his beats, so I wanted to give him a shout out here.
Absolutely.
And also, I wish I had a list of Atari games that you could beat. because I have a number of Atari games, but right. I know a lot of them are just arcade games, and it's just about high scores and how far you can get. If I knew a couple that I could actually beat, I might mm-hmm. give my Atari a little more love, to
sure.
be quite honest with you. Yeah.
You should.
I should do that. Now, here we go. Bill, start to continue at STC Pod. Mm-hmm. Edith Finch, hashtag just beat it. Cool experience playing through this with my teenage daughter. Now to catch up with the Cartridge Club and a Prime podcast on it.
Right.
And I think that's cool, playing a game with your teenage daughter. We know how teenagers, I remember when I was a teenager, the idea of doing anything with my parents mm-hmm. sounded like not my favorite thing to
torture.
Do. Yeah, exactly. So being able to play a video game, especially one that's like this, I think this is a good one.
It's a great one.
It's a very meaningful one. It might even be more of an emotional game. I don't know. It's got some parts in it.
Got
that
some
are,
hooks.
Got some hooks, man.
Yeah.
Definitely. So I thought that was really cool. I wanted to shout that out. I'm, of course, looking forward to playing games with my daughter. Hopefully she continues to want to play games with me when she's a teenager.
That'd be good.
All right. So if you are a teenager.
Yeah?
I don't know a good segue.
No, that's not a good segue.
Caltech is making robots and shit. We at Caltech are starting to specialize in autonomous systems for agricultural problems. Some projects we've worked on in the past include assisting Virginia Tech on an international robotics competition in Abu Dhabi, consulting on an emergency medical software communication system used in emerging countries, and helping Travis beat Double Dragon 2 and 3. There is no software development project too big or too small. Drop Caltech a line at info@calden.tech. If you're interested in working together and curious to learn more, that is info@den.tech. Really had to fight through that one,
yeah,
but I got it
did.
Out.
You powered through. We
now,
appreciate it.
You don't type the burp. It's info@coWDN.tech. We want to thank Caltech again for supporting us as always.
And as always.
He'll be helping us get out there to Philadelphia in the coming weeks, so we appreciate
that.
Yeah.
All right, so if you're enjoying the show so far, we thank you for listening. You can find everything we do on polykill.com. You can search Polykill Podcast on our Facebook, Twitter, on the YouTubes. You can find all of our stuff there also. You can reach out to us on the forums of cartridgeclub.org. You can drop us a line, ask a question, share an idea by sending an email to polykillpodcast@gmail.com. You can get a little extra content from us and join our little community over there on the Patreon at patreon.com/polykill. You can rate us on whatever service you use. I'm going to omit iTunes because they're killing it. Apple is killing iTunes.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant killing it as in like iTunes is great right now.
Well, no.
But it's
apparently
going
not.
Yeah.
It's going away. So we'll have to see what happens to podcasts. This is a weird time.
Yeah.
But we will be performing a live show in Philadelphia on Monday, June 24th at the Holiday Inn in Limerick. We'll be going down around 2 p.m. So if you're in the area, swing by, and we'll let you know more details as we get them. And speaking of details as we get them, what's going on with this ground game?
Yeah, so last time it was public bathrooms, I think.
I think it was.
Yeah, we didn't net a lot from that, I'll say. I think everybody was a little timid. I myself tried one, didn't go over well. Turns out the person in the stall next to me just wasn't interested. They were very focused on what they were doing.
Had a lot going on, probably.
Yeah, yeah. And they didn't seem very respectful of my time. So, it's the time of year people are traveling. You know, we're about to travel. It's summertime.
Summertime.
People are hitting the vacay. And I think that's a good opportunity because you're coming out of your circle of friends. You're leaving your town, your community, your job. You're going somewhere else for maybe a week, maybe the beach, maybe the lake, maybe the mountains, maybe an amusement park.
Maybe.
You'll meet somebody new. You'll come across somebody. Try on this vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Try to narrow in on one person and say, hey, what's your podcast game like? I'm from out here in fucking
Banff,
Missouri, you know, a different Banff. It's not the
one in Florida.
It's not the one in Florida or the one in up there in Canada.
Right.
It's down here in Missouri, and it's pretty out here in the Ozarks. But
lots of bears and alligators.
Absolutely. But I've come all the way from there to tell you here in the beach, out here in the beach, undescript, nondescript beach, that you should listen to podcasts if you're not. And this is the one you should listen to, which is Polykill. Do you like games? Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, have fun. These guys are fun.
It's vacation. Relax. Listen to a show.
Listen to one of these shows.
Let us know how that goes, guys.
Please do. And also, if you have an idea for a t-shirt design, again, we will put it on our store and give you the benefits. Just something that lets everyone else know when they wear a sweet Polykill t-shirt, which you should be wearing to the beach, a big black hot Polykill t-shirt.
Yes.
Wear that while you're out there on the dunes.
Metal. very metal.
And but maybe come up with an idea of a shirt that
we talked about that
comes across as a podcast, because right now it looks like we're just shooting bricks with guns.
Yep.
And not exactly what we want to be known for.
Not exactly.
You got to listen to us to get to know us. So anyway,
yeah,
that's it for the ground game. Go to your vacation and tell somebody new about what you do here with your ears. And now let's move into the discuss.
Well, I do want to say one thing real quick.
Oh, please.
And I don't know if this is related to ground game or if we're just getting famous. I don't know what's going on.
No, we're not getting famous.
But our downloads are increasing, and we do want to thank you for that.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think I tweeted out at the end of April that we had a banner month, hit over 1,000 downloads. I was like, I don't know if we'll match that in May. Who knows? But we beat it. We got 1,084 downloads.
Just barely beat it, but we beat it. Hey.
It was 10,003, so I mean, it was 81 more.
That's right. That's like a whole run of our catalog.
Squared more. So we appreciate it, and thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. So it seems like the ground game might actually be working.
Yeah. Who knows?
So keep going. Please tell your friends.
We love
That's the best way that we'll be successful.
Yeah.
All right, so now to the discuss.
Let's get
on. It's games we play a second time.
Now, I love this idea, because we're a game about beating games and moving on to the next one.
About it.
What did I say?
You said we're a game about it.
Oh, shit. we're a podcast about beating games. So the idea of retreading already discovered ground, it's not something we do a lot.
I hate it everywhere you can do it. I hate... I won't even... If I pull out of my driveway and I left my fucking... pants,
uh-huh.
I'll just go on to work. I'm not going back.
I'm not going back.
I'm not
going
to retread my driveway again.
Nope.
I've already seen it this morning. I'll just go without pants. I'll deal with it.
Absolutely. Almost every day that I drive to work, I drive there one way and come home a different way.
Yeah.
I hate...
But that's because you're paranoid that someone's following you always.
Well, there's that.
Yeah, you're weird.
I got warrants.
I don't like to watch the same movies over.
Right.
I don't like to... I mean, especially TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
I don't read the same books again. I don't even read the same paragraph again if I read it and didn't even understand it. I'm like, I'm just dumb. I'm moving on.
Moving on.
Not doing a second read-through.
Yep.
So to play a game again, which is longer than all of those other things, is just not ideal. I just don't usually
in general
want to do that.
In general, I agree. Yeah,
I don't want to do it.
Absolutely.
However,
mm-hmm.
there might be a few.
There might be a few exceptions, and that's what we're here to talk about.
That's what we're here to talk about.
Pick each other's brain a little bit.
Yeah, beat that brain a little bit.
So let me ask you, what is there one feature or one type or one thing about a game that, or maybe more than just one thing, is there something about a game that would draw you back?
Well,
to play through it. Now, I guess we should specify, we are talking about games that have a definite ending, right? We're not talking about like Ding Dong where you can just play indefinitely.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I've been, yeah.
Which, by the way, I did pick that up for 39 cents.
I know. I feel like I got ripped off. Yeah, I paid a whole $99. Dollar for it.
Idiot.
Yeah, it's so good. I think anything that is session-y.
Okay.
Right? But if it's still got a campaign.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I definitely would replay something like a Guitar Hero or Rock Band, where it is sort of a quest. You can go through the game that does have a finale, does have an ending.
Right.
But it's, you know, you can jump in, play a song. It's got a party atmosphere. I don't mind that so much. Same mm-hmm. thing with Gears. You know, we play the same modes over and over again. It's not really the quest, I guess. But,
right.
I definitely, you know, enjoy that. Or like a fighting game even.
Yeah.
Because it's just...
You can play through a different character, or you can learn some shit about it.
Certain things that can be fresh about it.
Yeah.
And usually anything shorter,
mm-hmm.
you know, if I really think about like the NES games. Last night, our sponsor, who doesn't listen to this podcast because he's a piece of shit, but he does give us money, so he's a nice piece of shit.
Right.
Came over last night, and we played through Contra and stuff, and that's a game that I've beaten before, and we played through and beat it. And,
right.
I enjoy that every time. I never get it's a short experience. And I just love the NES, so I rarely would say no.
Sure.
So things like that. Now, when I think about like longer experiences, that's where I start to think no.
Start groaning a little bit.
Even
like,
if I loved it, even if I absolutely loved it, I don't know that I want to sit through the parts that I didn't love as well.
Sure. Yeah. Because I'm the same way. Like I guess with movies, it's like even if I think a movie's good, there's always usually some part of the movie that I feel is slow or doesn't make sense or something. When I think about rewatching it, I'm like, but I have to
sit through that part.
I have to watch that part again too.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. So like, I think I'm mostly in the same boat with you there. I think what could draw me back is more of a gameplay mechanic and not necessarily a story mechanic. So like playing through Edith Finch again, probably wouldn't do it. Playing through Journey again, probably wouldn't do it. Same thing with Abzu. It's like these are games that reveal themselves fully from start to finish.
Right. But you're not going to get
you're not going to uncover something else, probably. And honestly, some of those games I just don't want to sully with a second playthrough because I feel like it might
taint.
You know, I might perineum those games.
I don't want to scrunch it. Which is the worst case.
You don't want that. So, obviously, some of those games I'm just not going to go back to because I don't. It's a golden memory that I don't want to tarnish.
That's thoughtful of you. I don't know that I would have that resistance to do that. I would be like, I like it. I'm going to play it again. And then I would just taint it. And I would be.
Right.
I don't have the willpower to, if I really wanted to play it, I'd just do it.
Yeah. And maybe that's fine. But it just, I overthink that maybe. But like that, honestly, God of War is one that I've sort of struggled with where it's like, I love that game. The 2018 God of War. I love it so much. And I honestly thought about just playing through it almost not regularly, but like just go back to it again and maybe again. But like.
But maybe it would scratch the itch. Like after a little bit, maybe you wouldn't have to play through it. You'd play enough of it to be like, okay, that's.
Yeah.
I just wanted to feel this.
But
again,
just that journey from start to finish was so good for me. And I loved it so much that I am kind of afraid to go back and be like, am I going to be more critical of it? I don't want to like blemish it. So.
That's fair.
It's weird. Yeah.
Now, of course, I've been playing video games my whole life.
Right.
But certainly, and we've talked about this, I don't know if I brought it up in a while, but I did go to sports prison for about 15 years.
You did? A long time.
I played a few games here and there that were not sports related, but I was certainly a sports boy for a long time.
Yeah.
And so there has been a gap between some of the games I've played pre-sports boy and the games I've played post-sports boy.
Gotcha.
And the ones that are on the other side of that gap, I want to replay now that I've played a bevy of video games and I have much stronger reference points.
Sure, yeah, okay.
And I can't think of a ton of those, but certainly things like, you know, back in the day I played this randomly on a whim, I think it was because a video store was closing.
Uh-huh.
I picked up Enter the Matrix on PS2 and played it and absolutely loved it. It had like the freeze mechanic and had all this cool shit. And I remember thinking about that game and loving that shit.
Yeah.
But I hadn't really played any other games that were really good in that era. That was a game I picked up because it was almost free.
Sure.
And I didn't really care about video games. And I wonder now if I played it,
if you'd love it.
Love it. But I kind of want to replay it because I did love it.
Yeah, that's a real catch-22.
Yeah. So things like that. Like,
yeah.
It's been so long, but do you leave that alone?
I get that. Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't know.
Because you feel like maybe old you was dumb.
Probably was.
Maybe.
Or also the moment. The PS2 was hot then. That was
the
best thing you could play.
Good point.
Can't do that now.
Right.
I can usually put on my retro spectacles for a lot of things like that and still enjoy it for what it is.
That's a good word.
From retrospectacles.
Yeah, I like that.
It should be a YouTube channel. Retrospectacles.
Do it.
But, and I know a lot of people can't do that. They're like, I can't see shit. Everything's fucked up.
Right.
Slow and all this other stuff. But I play enough of them that I can be okay with it. But at the same time, though, was because it was new and shiny the reason I liked it.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with.
Right. It was a new experience. And that was a big part of it.
Right. So, I mean, what are some games that you would replay from, say, your childhood?
From my childhood.
That weren't, like, you know, the quick and dirty Marios.
Yeah. I definitely think Ocarina of Time is one that I would replay. Because I do have, you know, this is a slightly rabbit trail, but it's kind of like, you know, how your memories over time of the same event change. Because when you remember something, you're just really remembering the last time you remembered it. So, like, things kind of fade and morph a little bit. So, like, I have a great memory of playing through Ocarina of Time, and I think everyone agrees that it's a great game, all that, but it's one that I don't remember a lot of specific parts about. You know, I remember the Water Temple, I remember the Gorons, I remember the Zora, I remember, like, going through all these things.
Chasing the chickens,
you know, Lon Lon Ranch, all that shit. But, like, I don't remember a lot of, like, the in-between stuff. So I'm very compelled to replay that game at some point.
That happens to me a lot where I'll play through a game, and then I'll see either GIFs of it or...
Like, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't believe I played this. Yeah. I don't remember. This happened actually the other night. Musty, I was watching his stream. Everybody should check out Musty's stream if you haven't. Musty Hobbit. He streams Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. And on Wednesdays, he does like a retro stream, which I really enjoy. It's usually NES stuff.
Yeah.
And he was playing Gunsmoke, which I beat you know, while we were doing this podcast.
Right, in the last 4 years.
It was actually in 2015. I looked it up. Okay. And that game looked hard as fuck. And I was like, I cannot believe I beat this. This is crazy.
And you love that game.
Yeah, and I was trying to give him tips, but they were wrong. I'm like, I swear to God, I beat this game. I beat it outright. I didn't, like, use codes or cheats or anything that. And that shit's crazy. So that kind of made me want to replay it, because I was like, maybe I've forgotten enough that I could enjoy it again.
Sure. Clearly, like, you've forgotten a lot.
Yeah, Clear Ops. You know, I'm getting old. I'm getting up there.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a good question. A game that I have played again a lot since my childhood is Punch-Out. I played that game a lot, and I loved it when I was a kid. I love it now.
But that's the game I'm talking about, like, kind of like the music game, where it's like a session game. It's
right.
Like,
I can get to be the major minor title holder, and I'm feel good with the night's work.
Yeah, yeah. There's something about it.
I can, like, come back to it.
Yeah, it's something about, and it's because it's a familiar type of thing. It's
and it's
a
very mechanical,
match,
right?
Or a song.
Yeah,
that's the notch. It's not like I'm going on a quest and doing this.
Right.
Where it's
I have to sit through a dialogue scene or whatever.
Right. You know what it is. It's a boxing match. It's a thing.
Right.
Yeah. Those are the kinds of games I think, and that's why sports games are obviously extremely replayable. It's a familiar concept. You know what you're going to get out of it. Your goal is to do this one very familiar thing, which is win. You do that, you feel good.
There's
it's not beating the game, but along the way, you have these ups and downs, and that. The ups and downs kind of perpetuate into wanting to be better or play more or win more.
Sure.
And they build on themselves. And then before you know it, you spend 15 years as a sports boy. You didn't play anything else. Or girl. You could be a sports girl. Sports, absolutely.
Yeah, whatever.
Jake, what are some games that you absolutely love that you would never replay? Absolutely. Hard no.
Well, I there's a couple that I mentioned, like Journey. I would absolutely not play that again.
And that's only because you don't want to scrunt your memory.
Right. Don't want to scrunt it, because it's an easy game to beat. It's mechanically very simple. It's maybe two and a half hours.
You know what you're going to get out of it, too.
It's gorgeous. I love the music. There's no reason aesthetically not to go back to the game, but I remember that experience the first time, and I don't want to have a second one. I think, let's see, Metal Gear Solid 2, I would not play that again.
I didn't even know you'd played that.
Yeah, I would not play that again. And I love that game, but I would just never go back to it.
Dated?
No, it's just it's so much. It's a very busy game in terms of lore and story and cutscenes, and it's just a lot to get through. The gameplay's fine, but, like, I just don't. That's not the hook with that game, and I already know what isn't the hook. If that makes sense, like,
yeah.
The story and the wackiness and the cool connections is what makes that game great. It's not the moment to moment gameplay. I think Knights of the Old Republic is one that is close, because I loved that game when I first played it. It blew my mind. I'd never played a BioWare game. I never played a good Star Wars game like that. And every part about it that I remember, I enjoy. So, like, but I know there's a lot that I've forgotten.
Right.
So I'm, like, very on the fence about that one. But that one's probably one I won't replay.
Kind of daunting.
It's you know, it's a 40 hour game. Yeah,
just that time you're like,
yeah,
but maybe you want to get in there for a minute, scratch the itch, see the reason why.
And
you
honestly have done that over the years.
Yeah,
I've jumped back in. Like, I think they put out a remaster on something. Maybe it was the phone. Maybe I have it on my phone or something like that. But, like, it's easy to get into. The gameplay's pretty simple. But, like, I got in there and I was like, I don't know if I want to do all this again.
Right.
You know,
yeah. So sometimes when I sort of romanticize the idea of a game that I really liked, it's not the beginning part. And playing that beginning part turns me off from even giving it that try it needs for me to get to the parts I liked. I'm not powerful enough, or the story is still building. There's a lot of tutorial, which I wanted to kind of throw back a little bit. The Fire Emblem Warriors, the tutorial aspect, and I can't remember if this was true in Dynasty or in Hyrule Warriors, but it's so fucking constant and interruptive and obnoxious.
Ooh.
It makes me so mad. Because the game's all action. You'll be swiping and swooping, sweepity swiping, and then just this pop-up. It's like, hey, jars do that. And it's like four panels of, don't forget to get life. Life's good. You need life.
Don't die.
Why? Dude, I don't fucking need this shit. So, anyway.
No, good point. Good point.
But if I have to jump those tutorial hurdles, it usually turns me off from wanting to go forward with the game.
Sure.
I'm like, fuck, I'm bored already. I didn't even get to the part I wanted to play or wanted to get to.
Yeah.
So maybe what I'm learning here about myself is that if I'm enjoying a certain section of a game, or if I find a game very enjoyable, I need to, like, set that save aside so I can reload it later
good point.
And jump into the middle of the game.
Yeah. That's a good point.
And just see if it scratches the itch I need to scratch. Thinking about games that I would like have a hard no on that I absolutely loved.
Mm-hmm.
I think of Skyrim. There's just a lot there.
So much.
And I explored. I put hours and hours and hours into it.
Yeah.
I have the really desire to go back, but I loved it.
Sure.
You know, it's like my top 10 all time games. Especially I put enough time into it, it'd be hard for me to say otherwise. I often romanticize The Witcher 2. I think about all the good times in there, but I wouldn't replay it. I just want to play more of what I've already started.
And to be clear, you mean Witcher Wild Hunt.
Yeah, exactly. The third one. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I wouldn't want to start over in that game, but I'd like to go back where I am now and do more of what I've done. That's kind of where my head is.
Okay.
Yeah. I definitely wouldn't want to restart it. You're so weak, and it's fucking...
It's just slow like a wet at the beginning. Noodle. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you say wet milk?
Wet noodle.
It's like a wet... Like a fucking,
it's just like wet milk.
Yeah, it's just
like, so weak.
Fucking damp ass titty juice. So thinking about it right now, like today, if you... All new games ceased. You could only play games you'd ever played before.
Right.
What are a handful that you would go to?
Yeah, I've thought about this. Rage 2 is definitely one that I would go back and play. But I actually got a game today that I have beaten that I've been itching to play, and I'm probably going to go home and play it after this.
Oh boy,
Injustice 2. I've talked about it multiple times. I traded in Rage and Far Cry today and got a handful of games, which I completely forgot to mention at the top.
Far Cry?
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry.
You did?
I'm sorry.
I thought, okay.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm just your best friend. It's okay. I could probably afford it.
Yeah, it's $20. Which Anthem is like $30 now, which is terribly sad. But anyway, I got a handful of games, but Injustice 2 was the one that I went in there after. And, also, that's payback for not playing through.
I know. Axiom Verge.
Axiom Verge.
I know.
I'm just fucking with that.
If I can get it. No, as soon as you said it, I was like, this is an Axiom Verge thing, isn't it?
But yeah, Injustice 2 is one. I've been wanting to play that real bad. Really big into, I don't know, I've enjoyed fighting games lately. Big into the DC universe right now. So I'm on board with that. It brought it all back and I want to play it. I would definitely replay Wolfenstein, The Old Blood.
Yeah.
Loved that one.
That one specifically.
That one specifically. New Order's fine, but I definitely like Old Blood more.
Yeah.
Borderlands 2. Would replay that.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
See, that's one I wouldn't, just because I know there's so fucking much.
So fucking much. But actually, I have it, the Handsome Collection, and Brian got it. So we're gonna run through all this before 3.
Had he played any?
No, he's never played it.
Oh, that'd be... He
played through it. Like a minute with you and Josh, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think he'd
like, I mean.
Oh, yeah, he'd love it.
He likes the games that are a little more grounded.
Right.
A little more.
And this one's, you know, got that loot
it's
payoff.
It's more cartoony. I would say he's not so much into those graphics.
Oh, yeah. I would agree with that. But he also loved Tales of the Borderlands.
I mean, that was fucking
which
awesome.
Which is a great fucking game.
Yeah.
Which is weird to me that that game is 4 years old.
Ugh. Yeah, I hear you.
What about you? What would you definitely play through?
Right now, if all my games left, I was only left with games that I ever played.
They stopped making games.
I would, and this is kind of cheating.
Okay.
But I want to play through the second quest of Legend of Zelda, which I've never actually done. So
okay.
I've beaten the original Legend of Zelda.
Right.
But it is like more of that game.
Right.
I would spend infinite hours.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but like when they made the game, like the main programmer, designer, whatever, screwed up and only used half the memory available to make the main quest. And was like, what are we going to do? Do we want to use this leftover space? So they made the second quest.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I was watching a Did You Know Gaming video on that.
Interesting.
And he was like, oh, yeah, I fucked up. I only used half of what I could have used.
Which is crazy because that game seems ambitious as shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely do that.
That's cool. That makes sense.
Another one, though, is XCOM Enemy Unknown.
Okay, so
I loved that shit.
Not Enemy Within?
They're very similar.
Okay.
I didn't play Enemy Within. I think it's a little different.
I really don't know the difference.
You can do some different stuff with tech, and I think it ends a little differently, but it's largely the same. It's very close together.
Okay.
Now, not XCOM 2. I'm not Pam. I can't beat that shit.
Yeah.
I can't get past the first two missions.
Yeah.
I find it very hard. I'm extremely impatient. I think the timer shit is too much for me to handle.
You don't like it.
I'm just not cut out for
it. No, clearly. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just hard. But Enemy Unknown really brought me on the map to that style of game.
Oh, I love that style of game.
And I love it. I loved
it
so much.
Have you played Mutant Year Zero yet?
No. Is that a thing that I would like?
I think so. It's on Game Pass. Check it out sometime.
I'll check it out sometime.
Should.
Also, L.A. Noire. I talk about it a lot, but this is another one where I actually bought it for the Switch, and I was like, ah, finally, get to scratch this itch. But the opening is so fucking slow, and you're just driving around, and I wanted to get to what I remembered, which were actually getting to the crime scene, solving the cases.
Right.
I wish there was just like a playlist I could hit where I could just hit all the good stuff. I already know the game, ins and outs. I just want to hit the cases. So that's one where, like, you know, you'd have to twist my arm a little bit, but I would do it.
So here's something that I'm just now kind of thinking about that, you know, we're talking about like replaying games. It sucks replaying games from the start, especially modern games, because there's a lot of intricacies with the tutorials and all that shit that was used to be in a manual. So that's why I'm thinking like Dark Souls, Bloodborne, those games are probably great to replay because there is no handholding at the start. There's no press A to do this, press B to do that, press RB in 12-6 to do that or whatever, you
12-6.
Know.
12-6,
I don't
know.
That
old button.
Just lots of that shit, but you don't have to put up with that in one of those Souls games.
Yeah.
You just jump in, it's like, fuck you.
I feel like if I ever beat one of those games, I don't know that I would ever touch it again.
You just come everywhere.
Yeah. First of all, I would jizz until I levitated, and then I probably wouldn't touch those games again because I imagine at that point I've already gone through 4 controllers.
Yeah,
I've spent hundreds of dollars in TVs and shit. There's no sense in putting myself through that again.
Yeah.
So I think what I've learned about myself is that if a game is sort of sports oriented or
mechanically,
I keep using the word session because I think about like those hard cutoffs, like. A football game starts, football game ends. A song starts, a song ends. I can pace myself.
Like fighting game, a match ends.
And each one of those things is a different experience.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know where you're, you know, you play a football game, you don't know how it's going to go, win or lose.
Right.
Play a song, you kind of know what you're going to get, but everybody likes music. You kind
and plus,
play
you always want to, like, do good, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You want to get, like, a 5-star song.
Those little bite-sized experiences that are embedded in those longer games
that
longer,
build toward an ending
that I just can't stop playing. Longer games that just like I like the Batman games, but I think about some of the shit I had to deal
like
with
the Arkham
Arkham games, and I'm like,
I still never played any of those. I have them all, but I've never
they're
played
great
any of them.
But there's just a lot there that I wouldn't want to redo.
I should play those.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
I played a lot of Arkham Asylum but never finished it.
That one's probably my favorite, but people really like City, and I really liked the last one. I can't remember the name
Arkham
of it.
Knight.
I didn't play the Origins one.
Yeah, that one wasn't made by Rocksteady,
right.
So I don't think people honestly don't count it.
They don't count it, but I heard it. I mean, it was still like between like a 6 and a 7 in terms of...
It didn't make the leap, you know? Like, the other ones got remastered, and Arkham Knight was developed for the new shit, so...
Yeah, Arkham Knight, that's the last one, right?
It is.
I liked that one a lot.
Cool.
That was good.
Cool.
All right, I don't know that I have anything else left to add.
No, I think it's cool that what we've unpacked here.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that conversation because, you know, you kind of, on this podcast, you feel a little guilty about replaying something maybe, especially, you know, if you've just beaten it or whatever like that, so.
Which is, now I was thinking about this too.
Yeah.
Before this podcast, I was thinking about the games, and I was like, it's weird that the only thing that I really enjoy redoing or re-experiencing over and over until really I almost kill it is music. That's the thing where like I'll
I was going to bring that up, but I didn't want to derail it into a music conversation because I could easily do that. But
yeah, I mean, I'll take a song that I really like and I'll listen to it till I'm almost sick of it, and it's like compulsive. Like I can't help myself. Like I just have to keep I really like this. I have to keep doing it.
It's a weird thing that the brain latches onto, man.
But like a movie, very rare. What's the last movie you rewatched? Do you do that often? I feel like you don't. I feel like you're always looking for the newest, shiny, newest movie to watch.
And I'm way off on movies right now, but I think Tombstone is a movie I'll watch no matter what. No matter when, I will watch Tombstone. If I turn on a television, if I walk into a house and it's just starting or if it's halfway through, I'm plopping my ass down and watching all of Tombstone. So that's one. I think that's the one that I've rewatched the most recently.
Huh. Mine are more comedies.
That makes sense.
They're usually shorter, too, which helps.
Yeah.
I did rewatch Austin Powers the other night while I was shuffling off a sunburn and trying to get my blood pressure back down from all the vodka I drank that day. And then Dumb and Dumber is another one of those that just seems like it's always on.
Right.
And I can't not watch it. Oops, excuse me. Yeah. I can't not watch it when it is on. And me, myself, and Irene, too.
Sure.
Just, man, when he chases after that train and his fucking nose whistles, I just have to get to that part and I can stop watching. But it's very rare that I'll rewatch a movie, but we do try to, you know, do these movie marathons where we watch like a trilogy or something. And
just kind of have that shared experience.
Yeah, and I feel like that's easier to get me to do it. Like, if you told me right now, like, I need you to sit down here and watch all three Matrix movies, I'm like, I'm already seen them. I don't want to. Be like, I'll watch them with you. I'm like, oh, we can experience it together? Yeah. I'd love to. Let's turn it on.
So that's
an element of it, too, is if I would, I'm happy to replay Contra or rewatch a movie.
That's a good point.
If somebody's with me, that I can share that experience
Even if
with.
You've both experienced it. It's cooler if one hasn't, but it's... Even if you both enjoyed it. Yeah,
there's something about it, you know, you kind of, they might unlock something for you in the game that you didn't even know that was there.
Exactly.
That you would have never found.
Yeah. Love that.
Okay. Very cool. Well, I think that does it for a good episode of Polykill 94. Hopefully everybody enjoyed that. Once again, you can find me at Trav Plays Games.
I'm at the McAxel.
Together we are at Polykill, and we'll catch you next time.
Peace.